Amen.
Hey, man. It was quite weird doing a fake hello after we've just been talking for the last minute.
It's so weird, but we're doing it. What are we talking about today?
We are talking about an app that hopefully the listeners have either seen or heard about or maybe played with, which is called ID by Ammo. Ammo, we were just trying to work out, is what the company's called, and ID is what the app is called, but we're just saying it seems to be like it's built to be quite confusing and a bit of a conversation starter, which is cool.
It kind of came out of nowhere last week, at least my radar on Twitter. I don't know, when did you find out about it?
But I was invited to it. That was the first time.
Yeah, we'll get to that. The reason why I want to talk about it is because it's refreshing to see people trying to build social networks, social platforms that are different. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've seen the rise and fall of BeReal recently and like others that are trying to disrupt the way social media is consumed and connections are made. Still to be proven to work, but there's some interesting concept. I think one of the main reasons why we want to talk about it in this podcast for one of the short episodes is because the app is fucking unbelievable to begin with. Whether it works or not, you have to admire the craft of this app. So anyone who haven't tried the app yet and is like us, marketers in growth, in product, like go check out their app just for the onboarding flow part is great. I actually screen recorded the whole thing to keep it and send to the people at Nude in my team, because it's very refreshing. Very refreshing.
Yeah, but it's very cool. Can you share an invite link? We could put it in the show notes.
Yeah. I think we can add it to the show notes. Yeah, for sure.
And then you guys all be our friends on ID.
Yeah, we can. Well, we'll talk about what it does, but basically it's a giant Figma board where you create stickers and you can put stickers of anything on other people's. It's a giant mood board for your personality. That's what it does for now.
And it sounds, you would imagine if you walked into a pitch and you said that to a VC, they'd be like, okay, it just sounds like Pinterest and Figma and a million other things. But these guys have managed to secure an $18 million raise, at $100 million valuation in a pre-launch in a crazy climate right now where nobody's, getting anything in the VC world. But we should say that it's got 10 co-founders, and all of those 10 were the initial team at a previous app called Zenly, which was acquired by Snapchat. So they've obviously got pedigree, and things are different when you're trying to raise money and you've sold your business to Snapchat.
Exactly. It's still very impressive. So well done to the team if one of them listened to it. I think we'll probably be one of the first ones to talk about it in a podcast, to be honest, because it's literally just coming out as we speak. I checked this morning on the UK App Store. It was number 20 on the social rankings, social apps rankings, which is not bad for just a launch being top 20. They're not doing any paid. It's all organic. So it's pretty impressive already. But the thing that got it under my radar was last week on Twitter. We both consumed the content of a guy we mentioned a few times already in the pod called Nikita Beer, who's a bit of a serial killer when it comes to launching apps and selling them to bigger players. I think he's
most
done it twice.
Gas app.
Yeah, most recently Glass App. Previously TBH, I think. Mm-hmm. Very similar apps both times, and both sold to crazy numbers. And I saw on his it was funny. I saw on his timelines the copy caught my attention because he said the future is French, and I was like, "Ooh, what is this?" And there was a video underneath because I knew already the future was French. because I'm French, so it makes sense to me. But there was a little video, I think one of the co-founders, so you said there's 10, I didn't know there was 10 co-founders, showing the app to him, so they must have met with him as well. So the fact that he's like somehow involved, maybe closer than we know, makes sense when it comes to the growth mechanisms, the growth loops that they've put into the onboarding, which are very similar to what Nikita Beer is known for, which is inviting your friends type of mechanism in a very slick way inside an onboarding flow. So that's what got me into it. And then I was like, how do I sign up? And I think I got invited by Yusuf, our common friend.
There we go. We both got invited by him. So maybe we should start with that. So you can only access it through an invite, and also you can only access it once you have invited somebody. So rather than it being the usual screen that pops up and says, "You do want to invite your contacts," and you can say no, in this instance you cannot continue unless you invite one or two friends.
Yeah, I think it's minimum
back,
three.
So I invited him back, and that's how I got. Because I'm not going to invite my friends. It's random. I don't know what it is. I think that's the interesting thing as well. Yeah. It doesn't give you any context as to like what it is at all.
Do you want to hear what's funny? I invited. I was like, who the fuck am I going to invite? I invited my boss at Nude, Crawford, who's a bit older than
us.
In his, I think he's in his 50s. I don't want to blow his spot, but he's a bit older. And invited him. I was like, first thing I saw is I think he posted a photo. So he made a sticker of a photo of him and his wife on my profile, because you can add stickers to him, someone else's profile. And I was like, surely he doesn't understand what he's doing right now. this shouldn't be on my thing.
That's funny. I mean, it is pretty confusing. It's like I said to Yusuf, actually, when he invited me and I did the invites and I got into it, within like 10 seconds, I'd close the app and I messaged him and I was like, I already feel like I'm too old for this app, man. It's like, I don't know what the hell's going on. But then I went back in, and then after, it actually, because when I first joined, I was only connected to him. But then when I went back in, like a few hours later, you had joined, and then you were in my circle, like my orbit. Yeah. And then there was like a few other guys from Fro that had joined. So then it starts making more sense when you see other people's orbits like build around you.
Exactly. I think what you said at the beginning is very true, though. For now, it looks like a giant whiteboard where you can create stickers off of anything on your phone. They look really cool. The design, like I said, like it's so everything is very slick, so it does look appealing, almost like a candy. Yeah. But
it cuts the background away automatically and puts a nice like thick border.
Yeah. So I made like crazy stickers about like of us, of the podcast, and like of like sneakers, whatever you like. You create your mood board in your like giant whiteboard. You've got people in your orbit, but then that's kind of about it. You can post things on there. Mm. Whiteboard, and it can accept or not. So like you can also influence someone else's mood board, I guess. But that's kind of about it. So I think these kind of apps, they're either playing the game of hypergrowth, virality, quick and easy, and like in 18 months they'll sell with millions of users before people start looking at retentions and, you know, a little bit like Be Real, you know, eventually no one uses it. Or they add functionalities, and that eventually you have to add features to play the stickiness. Like at the beginning of Facebook, Facebook was only useful if you invited your friends. But the usage of Facebook at the beginning was not that straightforward either. When it was brand new, you know? It was just a wall with like pictures of your friends and what they were doing, and maybe you know, your friends on campus, but you know, you have to have a little bit more stickiness to it.
Exactly. And what sets this a bit apart from probably all social networks that have come before is that whilst you can build your own, you can like put those stickers, and it sounds lame saying stickers, but it's like photos, whatever.
I love stickers.
Yeah, they are good. But I don't want people to think they're like preset stickers. They're things that you make yourself. Yeah. But as well as putting them on your profile, you can also have full control over everybody in your orbit's profile. Yeah. So I put like a massive nutsack sticker on Yo's profile this morning, and then you can like delete. I think you can remove things from other people's profile. So it's cool. It's like you curate who you are, but also people who know you can also curate who they think you are, which is quite cool.
I think you have to like accept it.
It seems like it could be like an ID. I mean, it's called ID, right? Like your ID card that maybe gets you access to another universe they're going to bring out, or maybe it's meant to be your ID that you share across. Rather than logging in with Google, maybe eventually logging with your ID, which is quite cool.
Yeah. That could be interesting. I think for someone creative or in a creative field, or if you want to know if someone's creative, like checking out their ID in this app could be a way to, you know, get a little glimpse into their world, or you know what they're into, or you know how you know what their passions are and stuff like that. Anyway,
and no filters, so it's like they're real. I guess the goal is your real authentic self. And the thing, one of the, there's like lots of cool little things that it does that we'll talk about, but there's a couple that jumped out to me, and I know one of them jumped out to you, but
go for it.
So one of these jumped out to you was the way it uses haptics. It's like it's constantly talking to you through these micro vibrations on your phone, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's weird because haptics have been in people's phone for a very long time, but it's the first time an app uses it that way. Mm. And it's very satisfying. It's almost... it really enhanced the user experience. It's not done too much. It's really for like key moments when you when you do like key actions. But it's very good. I think very underrated by many apps. Like got me a few ideas already for Nude, you know, in like, you know, key moments of the app where things happen on screen, where you're like, you're about to show your like aha moment, or like there's a reveal or something, a number or whatever, like the usage of haptics. I don't know what that means from a software developer point of view, if that's a complex thing to put in place, but it's probably, knowing Apple, it's probably not
I just think people don't value it necessarily, so it's like comes second, where it seems like in this case it's been almost front and center as part of the development.
The other thing, so that's one, definitely like haptics. I think anything sensorial, like I don't know if you say that in English, linked to your senses, I guess. So like haptics, music. I think music is very underrated in apps as well. Like I think there could be a lot more usage. I think they do use in the intro, in the onboarding, if you have your sound on, there's a little music, there's an animation and music going on. This is great.
Sound, touch, smell, obviously you can't have an app doing the taste. You can't do taste or smell. But if you can tap into as many as possible, that's a, you know, quite a powerful hook.
Yeah, for sure. So that's definitely one. The other thing that they do, which is also very cool, very on trend with, you know, some of the discussion about phone usage and mental well-being and stuff, is when you caught up with everything, it says, you've now caught up with everything, this app will shut down now. And they actually shut down the app for you. I love that. It's as marketers, we know it's a little bit, you know, not bullshit, but you know, we know what they're doing. But it's no one's doing that. It's genius. It's a very easy way to differentiate yourself, and like, yeah, you caught up with everything. Like their goal is not to keep you on for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah. I mean, unless you've got ads in there, right? There's no need. As long as you've got your DAUs, your MAUs going up, and the people are opening it every day. And to be honest, if you they're not, obviously you can reopen it again, but as long as you don't build functionality that makes people feel like they need to be in it for hours, then it just delays that burnout period, in my opinion. So if you just use it for 10 minutes a day, I feel like that's quicker to build a habit or something than you're like, oh shit, I feel like I need to be scrolling this app constantly for like hours.
And that brings me to the next point is like, even if they do that, so they shut down the app when you're caught up with everything, they're also already very well versed in using push notification to bring you back.
Yeah.
Like, so all the part of the onboarding that is very well done is like they make you, obviously, you have to accept to give access to your contact list, but you also need to turn on notifications. That's the usual, like most apps will ask for that. Mm-hmm. If you do say yes, their push notification is very, I wouldn't say aggressive, but it's very well prompt. So especially in that phase where you're about to get inside the app and you're inviting your friends, they send you push notifications when a status change or if someone hasn't yet accepted your invite. So they remind you that you invited those two or three people. They remind you that these people are still not in. So they really put a little extra effort in pushing the user to follow up with their friends. So they close the loop and go into the app with them.
I find it really works. Good. Yeah, it definitely works in this case because Yusuf was waiting for me to accept his invite so he could get in. Because like I said at the start, you have to invite to get in. So he was WhatsApping me. He was like, come on, man, can you just like go and invite some people and get me into this thing? So it's like, it's a really interesting way. It's you create this need for someone to do something, and then they take that need off the platform and they go into WhatsApp and they like push their friends along that way. And it's the same with the push notifications because it's like, he's not joined yet or she's not joined yet. You're like, oh, I'm going to go and prompt them because this thing is cool. And it's like another little growth loop that's built on top of that.
Exactly. One thing I noticed, which I don't think they've cracked yet, and I get a lot of these like moments with Alana when I have an app like that that I want to do like try and I want to try as well or like test something. I send her the link. So they obviously, when you invite your friends, you send them the link. And I think what they've done is like the other person just receives the link. And I think the video that you can see on the App Store for the app, the animation with all the stickers coming in and stuff, that's also embedded in the link. But there is no text. So when there is no text, a lot of people receiving a link like that are not going to click it. Like, I know for a fact Alana is going to, like, anything I send her like that, she's like, I don't know if it's you, I don't know if I'm going to be scammed or whatever. So I don't click links that I don't know. And even worse than that, and I thought it was great, I thought it was so funny. In this case, I sent her the link and I added a little bit of text myself. So I was like, and it was so bad. It was like, check this out, X, with a little, a little kiss. And like, she was like, even with your message, it sounds so like dodgy as fuck. It's so funny. Check this out.
is actually something that nobody has nailed because it's like, what do you say when you invite a friend to something? You know, what the hell do you say? It doesn't sound cheesy or shit or like spam.
Exactly. I think to be honest, I don't have the answer to that. I don't know like what automated text could you put in there that looks authentic so it doesn't look like you're trying to scam your friends or that it's a dodgy link or something. But I thought it was really funny because even when I added the text, I made something that sounded like really dodgy anyway. That was funny. But what did we not say? I think
so you have a main like avatar, whatever. So instead of just uploading a photo, it's like it's almost like a very short boomerang type thing. So it doesn't even show you a preview of what you're recording. It just shows you this like character's head like moving around and you get a circle going around. And it's just like, say my head was like going left to right, it would just be like left to right. And then that's just what you're like. Your avatar does in the app, which is cool. It's like another thing is like that, the haptics, the inviting, the push notifications. There's all these things that are built in that aren't big features, but they're just like small fun things that get people talking. Have you seen that app that does that cool thing with the profile? Have you seen that app where it does the cool thing where it automatically cuts out your stickers? There's like loads of things that different people would find interesting to talk to their friend about.
It looks like, it looks like every single interaction or moments in the app, they've really thought through what was going to be the differentiation or the new thing that no one does that they could do. I guess that's why we wanted to talk about it in this episode, is because they're in every single interaction. I think all of us marketers out there will appreciate the craft that went into this, and that's not something that I've experienced for a long time. Like, that's how good it is. Like, even when Be Real came about, like, I thought it was like, it didn't blow my mind. I was just like, yeah, okay, they've got an interesting like front camera, back camera mechanism, but outside of that, the rest was pretty standard, like not too mind-blowing. In their case, it's another level.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like back in the day with Snap and the navigation through the app, through like swiping left, right, up and down to get to different things.
Yeah.
That was, it kind of reminds me of that, in that you have to almost like work out how to use it, but it's not like overly complex. It's very intuitive.
No.
And it's just like, how can we, you know, the normal discussion is like, do we have like a 4 or 5 option menu at the bottom of the screen? But it's like, take that back a level as part of your product development and be like, how do we make an event out of navigation? How do we make an event out of sharing? How do we make an event out of, you know, opening the app? I think if you consider those things, and it obviously is a lot of work required to do that, and that doesn't necessarily align with traditionally what an MVP is, and maybe that's what sets these things apart, right? Because normally you would say, what's the MVP we need to get out there and launch with? And that cuts away all of the cool, sexy ideas that you have, which are just like the cherry on top. But then when something comes out that has thought about all of the things that you would normally cut away as part of your product planning meetings, you're like, oh shit, this feels like an app that's been around for years, because I'm only used to seeing this level of polish after something that's been around for years. But it's actually only just come out today.
Yeah. Exactly. Go check it out. I feel like we've giving them a lot.
Yeah, you click up, we'll make a profile for, because we've got our own personal profiles, maybe we'll make an In Growth We Trust account, and then you can we'll put the invite and you can all join us.
I think we might need another phone number to do that.
Okay.
Because we'll use a burner phone for that. Cool. I think that's it. I think we covered everything. It's hard to go through more details on, like, for example, the invite mechanism. But I think like one of the reasons why it's going viral right now is because of that. You know, you're not accessing the app until you invited your friends and one of them joined. Is what's gonna propel the app for the first few months easy. And hopefully what they're trying to, well, we know what they're trying to get to is having like a viral factor, a K factor above 1, basically. If you have that,
these guys are in a lucky position where we don't know the full go-to-market strategy here, but they have a profile. They know they're going to get PR on like tech. You can go on any tech blog this morning, like TechCrunch or whatever, and there's an article about it. You know they're going to get that. You know they're going to get a push from their friends like Nikki Tiberia, all the other entrepreneurs having the space. So it's like you could go and build an app which has this invite mechanism, but it's not going to go viral tomorrow. You need to have that initial push. For these guys, in my opinion, it's being able to like tap into PR and the industry and just get
like influential tech people. For sure. And if they got that much investment that quickly, they're definitely new people to begin with. It's not two random new guys who came out of nowhere. Well, it's actually 10 people that that came from somewhere and were very successful in the past. But it's great to see innovation overall. I think that's cool. Innovation coming from France, that's really nice too. And yeah, we'll see how this app does. But yeah, definitely go have a look for all of these things that we mentioned. I think you might get a couple of ideas from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you on ID.
We'll see you on ID.